I'm going to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. And we're going to look in Luke chapter 7. I beg your pardon, Luke chapter 6. And this is part of Jesus' Sermon on the Plain. The Sermon on the Mount you find in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. The Sermon on the Plain, which is very much the same content, you find in Luke chapter 6. And some of it you'll find very familiar because the sermon was, it was either the same sermon remembered in two different places or it was the same sermon preached in two different places. But we get some different perspective in here as well, and I want to talk about this from the platform of preparedness. So, Lord, as we turn to your scripture, to your word, I pray that you would open up our hearts and our understanding, that we may not only hear you, but that our hearts may be stirred up to follow you and to obey you, that we may bear fruit that is befitting those who have faith in your arrival. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 6 and starting at verse 39. And we're going to read 10 verses, so listen carefully. He also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house, who dug deep and laid the foundations on the rock. And when a flood rose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it, because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. All right, we're going to talk about these things, and since there's not enough time to go into commentary on every one of those ideas, I want to talk about the broad overarching idea of preparation. Clearly, the end of this passage talks about that idea of building your house on the rock, which is certainly got a whole lot to do with preparedness, doesn't it? Being prepared, building with the storm in mind, preparing in advance for the storm. But there's also an idea of preparedness in all the other admonitions that we had a little bit earlier. At the top of the page in verse 37, Jesus starts by telling them that they shouldn't judge, lest they be judged, that they shouldn't condemn, lest they be condemned. Now, when I say they, I actually mean we should not condemn, lest we be condemned, and that we should forgive so that we can be forgiven, and that we should give so it can be given to us. There's a sense of reciprocation in what it is that we do. So whatever it is that you do, you've got to think of the future. In other words, there's preparedness in how you go about your everyday business. You're thinking about the consequences of your actions. And so Jesus is teaching in this whole lesson an idea that we need to be thinking in advance. Something's coming, and we need to be prepared for it. And whether that thing that comes is good or bad will be, well, that's God's prerogative, I suppose. But whether or not we are prepared for it is going to be based on how we lived our lives in advance. So he talks about the heart. He talks about the treasure that is laid up in the heart. And out of that treasure, we bring forth. So there is an idea that that whatever it is that we accumulate in our value system, whatever it is that we accumulate in terms of our perspective, these things will govern the way we behave in the world around us. And he addresses some of the practical applications of that first before he gives us the big build your house on the rock parable. The practical applications have to do with the way we treat one another, the way we look to judging one another and their morals, their ethics, or their behavior that's right in front of us. And he explains that we ought to spend more time addressing the issues of our own heart than we ever spend addressing the issues of anybody else's heart. Now, for those of you who are parents, You do have a firm responsibility to address the issues in the hearts of your children, because for a season of time you have influence in their lives that is very specific and very intentional. God's given you that responsibility, so it is important that you guide. And I don't think that this applies with the same measure. If you are correcting your children, for example, I don't think it's appropriate for them to turn to you and say, "How about you take that log out of your eye there, Dad, before you try to get the speck out of mine." Just saying. Anyway, of course, once they're adult children, it may be a different story, right? But honor is always correct. Thank you, Tammy. Honor is always to be remembered. Honor and respect in every relationship, that we ought to honor one another, especially those who are our parents or our elders. Anyway. But there is a strong sense of responsibility for what's going on inside of our own hearts. And what is happening in what's coming out of our mouths, what's coming out in our behavior is, Jesus says, a clear indication of what we have accumulated on the inside. So if you want to be a better person, start collecting better treasure. If you want to be a better person, start collecting better treasure. You can identify where you're at right now by taking a look at the words that come out of your mouth, the levels of anxiety that you live under, and the kinds of relationships and relational breaches that you are experiencing currently. That's an important test to take. It's an important state of the union to figure out. You need to find out how you're living right now. Take a litmus test, take a snapshot, evaluate, and ask God to show you. Okay, whoa, all right, there's some things in my life that need adjustment. The good news is, however, that you've got some time, and the time to prepare for tomorrow begins right now. And so this essence of preparedness is written into the very text here. Relational preparedness, well, you've got to build a better treasure on the inside. Relational preparedness, you've got to start thinking more about your own issues than about everybody else's issues. Take responsibility for your own issues rather than everybody else's issues. And then he goes from there to the more long-term kind of fruit. He says, well, look, there's also an evil heart and a good heart. Well, that Richard was talking about when he gave us the communion admonition, and that is we've got to take a good look at our hearts. If we are not in Christ, my friends, it doesn't matter how many good deeds we do, our hearts have not been redeemed. Our hearts are evil. I know that that's a harsh word to say, but let me just tell you that there's no black and white, and there's no gray area there. It's black or white. God says our hearts are either good or our hearts are evil, and they're good because they're redeemed and born again hearts, or they're evil because they're not. And so that's why we need Jesus. Only Jesus can come and bring dead hearts back to life again. Only Jesus can transform the heart from an evil heart to a good heart. All won't suffice. So it starts, I suppose, our journey of potential of decisions. And that is to surrender our lives to Jesus Christ, to make him Lord, and to say, Jesus, I will follow you. Then we've got to start thinking about long-term consequences of our dreams and of our goals. And we've got to think of the long-term consequences of our pursuits right now. There are things that can easily steal away our time. Our time can be spent on our careers. Our time can be spent on our homes. Our time can be spent on our toys and our pleasures, our time can be spent in a variety of ways. But it is important for us to recognize that a storm is coming. The storm is coming. You know, this week I sent you guys a letter. And in that letter I mentioned that we as elders have sensed throughout this season of pandemic, we have sensed that the Lord really wants to teach us as a church how to be ready. We felt an urgency to get you all to perhaps take some measures for practical preparedness, to have food and resources for your family, to be able to endure for a couple of weeks if there were to be some sort of natural disaster. We're not saying that one of those is coming, but we sense in our hearts that the Lord's giving us a warning, and one may come. We live in a world where things like this could happen at any moment. And we just felt like the Lord's saying to us as an eldership that we needed to take it seriously, be prepared. Perhaps the Lord wants us to know that in advance, that something a little more catastrophic may occur. And if it did, how would we be ready? Well, I thought about it, and I thought about this letter that I sent, and over the last few days I've been going online and purchasing some, you know, just some basic supplies, a few things for the medical kit, just make sure it's up to date, and making sure that my expired medications and so forth are, you know, I've got new ones to replace them, making sure that I've got an extra space blanket, you know, in the medical kit in case we get caught in the cold or somebody's, you know, hypothermic or whatever you call it. And I thought, why do I take so much pleasure in preparing? Because I do, actually. My wife will tell you. I take it far too seriously, and I love it. I probably make a fantastic Boy Scout. I love being prepared. I've got everything in everything you could possibly imagine you might need in an emergency. I've got it. I'll whip it out and I'll show it to you. It's right there in my kit, in my preparedness kit. And I love it. And I thought, why? I mean, listen, some of you guys who know me might know this about me, that I love collecting camping equipment. I love it. Like ultralight camping equipment. Ask me if I ever use it. Don't ask me if I ever use it. Even Doug Brown, who ran a hiking store and all that kind of camping store, would probably drool over some of the equipment that I have. He also knows that I don't use it. I just have it. I collect it. It's in my basement, and I look at it. I pull it out once in a while, show it to my friends. I make a great salesman, Doug. You would have hired me. I would have sold a lot of camping gear for you, bro. You bought a lot, too. It's in the attic. It's not used. It's in the attic and not used. I mean, I've got the best stuff that money can buy. It's great. I love it. I did spend the night the other night in my basement on my new camping cot. And in the morning, I made myself coffee on my little burner. I ground it by hand, ground the coffee and mixed it, made myself French press right there in my own room, needed nothing. It was fantastic. And I asked myself the question, why do I love this so much? Why do I love preparing? And I realized that it's actually intrinsic within the Christian faith. It's part of who we are. Do we not know that this is not our home? The reason why I love camping equipment is because I'm a sojourner by heart. I'm a traveler by heart. I always have been, because Jesus made me that way. He taught me long, long ago that this world is not my home. He taught me long, long ago that I need to be prepared to take whatever I can carry on my back and get out the door. And go preach the gospel wherever the gospel needs to be heard. Because there's a day coming, the day of the Lord's favor and the day of the Lord's judgment. The day is coming when the eastern skies will split, the trumpet will sound, the Lord will appear, and we will be caught up together with him in the sky. And I believe that. That's not just some pipe dream or some Santa Claus style thing that we teach our kids. I believe it. The Lord is coming. And so my heart is always ready for that. And I want to be ready. I want to travel light. I want to be ready. I don't want to collect a bunch of stuff I have to try and lug behind me like the guy in The Mission. You guys remember that movie, The Mission, with Robert De Niro years ago? I don't want to lug stuff behind me and try and carry it up waterfalls and stuff. I want to be able to pack light, carry the ultralight, and have all the amenities. Well, I want you to know that Jesus wants us to live in a state of preparedness. spiritually speaking, we must be ready for any crisis. What did he say? He says, be prepared, be ready in season and out. With what? With the word of God dwelling in you richly. Be ready with that to be able to give an account for why you believe what you believe. At any moment, be ready in season and out of season. Be ready to preach the word. There's a preparedness that we need to have in terms of the gospel. We need to be ready to tell anybody anywhere why they need Jesus and why we need Jesus and why Jesus made such a difference in our lives, why he is our lives. We need to explain our hope to others. And I want to encourage you in your time of preparedness right now. I sent you the letter. Get practically prepared by all means and have 2 weeks' supply of dry rations and water and so forth in your home. And enough supply that you could carry 3 days' worth with you if you had to leave the house. Yes, be ready like that. But the real preparedness that I want you to have is being prepared in your heart to carry the gospel anywhere, anytime, to anybody, rich or poor, great or small. And how do we do that? Well, that's an excellent question. And I want to invite you to explore that yourselves. If I give you the instruction on how to do that, it might be like giving my son the instruction on how to use the French press. Yeah. He's got it. He figures it out. Just doesn't do it the way I do it. But you might not listen. You might not listen to the way I instruct you, and you might forget what I say, and then you might try and figure it out and try and remember points A and D and maybe F. You need to figure it out between you and Jesus. How do I share my testimony? How do I share the gospel with other people? This passage, we'll talk about it some more, but I'm out of time right now. This passage is a clear challenge that we should build our lives in recognition that storms will come. We can't anticipate when and how they will come. But in this particular story that Jesus gives, relational issues are going to arise. And those relational issues are going to arise at some point. And you need to be full of good treasure on the inside so you can respond with good treasure that comes out of that. Understand? And you don't do that in the moment, suddenly trying to cram it. You do it by building right from the get-go on the solid rock that is Jesus. And how do you build on the rock? Jesus said, you hear his word and you do it. That's what building on the rock is. You hear the word of God and you apply it. And you apply it now. And you apply it incrementally, consistently, and it will stand against any storm. So we'll talk more about preparedness over these next few Sundays, but I wanted to just start the spiritual preparedness discussion with you now because we anticipate that whether it's now or later, persecution will arise upon the church, and you need to be ready. We need to know how to communicate with each other, how to be able to still have family when we can't meet. Thank God we can meet like this right now. Some places, they can't. Again, they're moving it, rolling it backwards, and we know that. Some of us really hate the masks. I'm one of those. But we do it because we want to honor and respect our community and the laws of our community. We don't do it just to comply for compliance sake, but we do it because we feel like the Lord says yes. But what if we weren't allowed to meet at all? How would we maintain our Christian fellowship? You say, well, we don't have to worry about that until we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Well, actually, I think preparedness makes us think long and hard about the contingencies in case they ever arise so that there's a plan, and the plan may change in the moment when you're there, but it's good to have a plan before you get there. And that's what we want to do. We want to think about what would it mean? How would you, as a family, be able to maintain your faith? Well, don't look to the pastor to maintain it. Be the priest in your own home. Read the word for yourselves. Do some study. Get some books or some helps to teach you a little bit deeper. God is with you, my friends. So as we prepare for natural disasters, let us prepare in our hearts to be fruitful for the kingdom's sake. For the harvest is ripe and the laborers are few. Lord, we pray that you would send us out as laborers into your harvest. We love you, Lord, and we need you. Come. Breathe your life upon us. May we prepare well. In Jesus' name, amen.